The big story, though, today is confirmation overnight. Brendan Hartley will drive for Toro Rosso in the US Grand Prix next weekend. Now, you would hope if he does well and he makes the transition from the Enduro, the Porsches, into Formula One, that could well set up a drive permanently. Formula One next year. The first time we've done that since 1976. Brendan Hartley joins us out of Japan, Fuji, Japan to be precise, where he is racing in the Enduro Series. Brendan, firstly, can I say, before we get on to the reaction back home, which has been huge, we are so chuffed for you. But also, you are adding to a legacy here, which is a golden era of New Zealand motorsport when you look at what we're doing all over the globe and all sorts of categories, Brendan. This sort of caps it off. You back in Formula One, New Zealand back in Formula One, Brendan.
Yeah, like you say, I'm one of many. You know, I've said that a lot of times before, and I didn't 100% see this one coming. You know, when LMP1 or the Porsche LMP1 program was announced, that it would stop. Obviously, I started trying to figure out what and where I'd be next year, and one of the first calls I made was to Helen Marko at Red Bull, and I said, listen, if there's ever an opportunity, you know, I feel ready now. I wasn't those 8 years ago, and I said, my hand's up and I'm ready. He told me he got the message, but I didn't hear anything for 3 or 4 months, and to be honest, this came pretty out of the blue and over the last weeks, and it's happened very quick, and luckily I've been very busy at the same time, so I haven't had a lot of time to overthink it, and I guess I'm a little bit unprepared in some ways going into next weekend without ever testing the car and all that. But on the other hand, I absolutely feel ready. I mean, okay, I'm 27. I'm not as young as some of the other guys who are entering Formula One, but I have such a wealth of experience from being in a program like Porsche, or having teammates like Mark Webber or Timo. And so, you know, I don't want to give myself too many expectations for the weekend, but I guess I'm as ready as I could be for an unexpected opportunity like this.
Brendan, have they said to you, the bosses at Toro Rosso, are they treating this as a trial for you potentially getting a full-time seat next year?
You know what? I'll let everyone else speculate on that stuff, and I'm trying not to think too far ahead. Actually, first of all, I've got this weekend to race. It's the next round of the World Endurance Championship, so we have a chance to clinch the title, so that's the first focus, and then I'll just think about next race. My debut in Formula One, which I'm going to have to overcome a lot of challenges to make it work and do a good job. And I don't want to overthink it. You know, I haven't asked too many questions. Even when I was asked to come and do a test on the simulator, by Red Bull, I didn't ask too many things. I came and did it. Obviously, it went well, and now I've got the opportunity to make an F1 debut, which is already fulfilling so many dreams on you know, it's such a big thing for me to make an F1 debut, and I don't want to overthink it. I'll let everyone else do the speculation on that.
The thing about it, though, Brendan, back here, we're chuffed for you. We really are, because we know that we've got this proud history as far as Formula One is concerned.
We haven't
had, as you know, a driver. 76 full-time was Chris Amon. We haven't had one for 33 years, full stop. That was Mike Thakwell. So for me, and I'm just wondering for you as well, just that legacy you're adding to here, even if it was, let's say, worst-case scenario, a one-off drive here, this is still significant for New Zealand motorsport.
Yeah, I'm really proud, mate, that I can fly the flag. And I mean, like I say, I try not to do too much reading about myself, but I've heard from friends and family already that the news has been taken in a really good way. And you know, even this morning, I had a message from Chris's son James. You know, just saying how proud Chris would have been, and that means so much to me. I mean, I teared up a little bit, and I knew Chris really well, and I've got autographs of Chris and Bruce and Benny all on my wall with photos. And I'm very aware of the history, and like I say, there's all these things that I'm trying not to think too much about, but I'm very aware of, you know. And yeah, it's going to be really special for me, and like it's come as a bit of a shock to everyone, and just as much to me. I mean, this has happened very fast over the last week, so like I say, I've barely had time to come up for air. But I'm sure over the next few days it's really going to sink in, and when I line up on that Formula One grid for the first time, I think there'll be quite a few emotions.
How difficult is it going to be? Now, simulators, just to point it out to listeners, give them an indication. The variables between jumping in a simulator, of which clearly you did a great job in for Toro Rosso to say, let's give this guy a crack, and then all of a sudden going from what you've been racing at the moment, which is the Porsches and the endurance racing, as you say, lining up in Formula One, that transition, how hard is that going to be?
It's a great question. I guess I'm probably not going to fully know until I line up on that grid next week. But I guess that's partly why they've chosen me as well, is that I do have experience in a very quick and complicated race car. So, you know, I've been very lucky to be a part of this Porsche 919 program for the last 4 years or since its beginning. So I've been part of development. I've been part of a hugely complex car, which requires a lot to get the most out of. So I think there's going to be some similarities. Obviously, it's got four wheels. It's got a steering wheel. And you know, speed-wise, okay, Formula One's going to be quicker. But what it takes as a driver to get the car around the track as quick as possible should be similar. But there's obviously a lot I'm going to have to learn in a very quick space of time. So, yeah, I feel ready for it, honestly. I feel up to it. I'm excited. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't a little bit nervous. But, yeah, most of all, like I said, I feel ready.
What is it about feeling ready? Because I guess when you were cut from the Red Bull campaign, there was probably a large part of you, Brendan, let's be honest here, who maybe felt that was it for your Formula One dream.
Yeah, 100%. That was a long time ago. So 2010 was when I was cut from the Red Bull Junior Driver Development Program. I mean, I've kept the relationship since then, and I've carried Red Bull on my helmet during my years at Porsche. But yeah, I mean, I went through a tough time in my career, and I tested Formula One for the first time at 18. And yeah, to put it bluntly, I just wasn't ready at that point. I wasn't mature enough. At that point in my life, I wasn't enjoying the racing, and I was going through a bit with some bad results and losing confidence. And I mean, from going through that hard time, I mean, I've learned a lot, and I'm a lot stronger and more an all-rounded driver than I've ever been. So, you know, I think a lot of sports people go through a hard time, and I went through that at a crucial moment where I was very close to getting to Formula One. And yeah, I mean, I didn't really expect that I'd have another opportunity. I mean, okay, maybe 2010, 11, I picked myself back up, I got on the phone, and I was scrambling to try and make something happen. But when I made that move to endurance racing in 2012, I mean, I guess I accepted it some way that Formula One became very unlikely. I was still testing in Formula One and on the simulator. I was doing some work for Mercedes. But in reality, I hadn't given up, but part of me thought, yeah, it was going to be tough. But I guess the story shows that, you know, you never should give up, and you know, dreams can come true. I mean, it's all very cliche what I'm saying, but that's the truth of it. You know, that's how it's happened. And, you know, to get my break in Porsche was already huge and unexpected, and a lot of people didn't expect them to take me. They took a massive chance on me, and I've proved myself there, and I've worked my way up the ranks, and I've had the likes of Mark Webber and other teammates to help me, and I've had Porsche behind me. Did I really think that was a stepping stone to Formula One? No. But it was, and it has, and I'm about to make my Formula One debut.
But imagine this, Brendan Hartley, moving forward. Imagine if you set some sort of precedent here in the modern age, which generally means in Formula One, as you know, you need a truckload of cash. Imagine if you're able to get there on talent and speed alone.
Yeah, I always dispute that, because I'm a case in point. I know, okay, until now I haven't done a Formula One race, but there's plenty of other drivers that have got there on talent and speed. And I had a massive opportunity to be in Formula One back in 2009 and 10 when I was a reserve driver. And that wasn't because of huge funding from my family. You know, that was from hard work and passion from a young age. My family putting everything they could into making that dream happen and support us from New Zealand. But without millions of dollars behind me, I had that opportunity, and others have as well. So it's not completely true that you know, you have to buy your way there. And Red Bull especially have shown that over the years, that they've always promoted the young drivers. I'm not sure if I'm 100% classed as a young driver anymore, but I did come through the program, and they're the ones that gave me my huge opportunity in Europe all those years ago. I think 11 years ago when I left school and home and to follow that dream of Formula One. So they were the ones that gave me that huge opportunity, and they've given many others the same.
Brendan, I'll leave you with this one here. Chip Ganassi. So was that contract signed? And what happens if you do get offered? I know you don't want to get into this, but if you do get offered a permanent drive Formula One next year, would Chip Ganassi release you from that contract? I mean, you've got, I mean, the wonderful thing for you, you've got options galore.
Yeah, I mean, I can't talk too much about options for next year yet. And I just, like I said before, I want to take it one step at a time. And first focus is this weekend in Fuji for WEC. We're leading the championship. The next focus will very quickly move on to my Formula One debut, which might be the biggest challenge I've ever faced. So that's the first priority. And then after, let's maybe chat about what the future holds.
I got to say, though, Brendan, to wrap up here, can you imagine what it's going to be like? And this is just me being overexcited, as I tend to do with this job. But I am. I'm stoked for you. But can you imagine what it would be like if we had...
Thanks, man. Yeah.
I mean this, Brendan. If we had a Kiwi in Formula One, I mean, all of a sudden that would get mainstream news coverage. It would get television coverage. I mean, a lot of radio coverage as well. It'd be like sort of... The way I compare it, Brendan, it'd be like Stephen Adams in the NBA, where all of a sudden there's a posse of New Zealand supporters following that because of Steve. That would happen with you, Brendan.
Yeah, no pressure. I'm trying not to add anymore, but you're doing a good job of it. But no, I mean, mate, I'm well aware, but I'm just trying to put it at the back of my mind, honestly. I know that's, yeah. And I know that New Zealand gets behind the sports people. And I mean, that's who we are. That's what we do. And I'm so grateful for that. And yeah, I'm going to do my very best and try not to think about what could be and what's at stake and just try and do what I know how to do, which is drive race cars quickly. And it's what I've been working towards all my life, since as long as I can remember. So put all that into practice and see what happens.
Mate, good luck. Brendan, I really mean that. Good luck. I hope you go unbelievably well. I hope you impress the bosses at Toro Rosso. And one thing I'd like to say, guys, as well, just how well-spoken are our motorsport drivers? And we'll have Mitch Evans on the program tomorrow, who came oh so close. GP2 series, stepping stone to Formula One, just didn't have the cash. The fact that Brendan's done this without the cash, I know he's talking that down, I think is significant.